Hi, all. These are generally conversations between adults after the children have left the table. The language can be spicy, and the subjects can get saucy. So if you're ready, this is the Southern Fork. Unscripted kitchen chats, and also studio chats, with some of the most interesting voices in the culinary South. I'm Stephanie Burt, a food and beverage writer based in Charleston, South Carolina, who travels with her fork to write for a variety of publications, from magazines you might have on your coffee table to the website you love to visit for your favorite recipes. And I'm inviting you to come behind the scenes with me to get to know the people who make this Southern culinary landscape so special. I'm always hungry for the next bite, thirsty for that next sip, and ready for the next conversation. Let's dig in. The Southern Fork is sponsored by Bottles Beverage Superstore. With two South Carolina locations, in Columbia and in Mount Pleasant, just a bridge away from Charleston, this beverage superstore really does have some of the best selection in the state. Not only do they really support local products, but they also have interesting beer, wine, and spirits from all over the world. If someone is looking for something specific or something a little out of the ordinary, I'll send them to Bottles. Chances are they'll have it, but if they don't, the local experts at each Bottles location know their stuff, and they'll be able to suggest alternatives or help expand palates. In fact, I love having an excuse to visit because I always end up learning a little something new about the wide world of beverages. And if you visit, look for the Southern Fork recommended tag. That means the beverage has been discussed on this show, and you know I'd be sipping it with you if I could. For more information and to find directions to the bottles nearest you, visit shopbottles.com. Now, let's get down to it, shall we? Hannah Raskin, food editor of the Post and Courier in Charleston, South Carolina, is one of the most respected food writers in the country. She's written for many publications, from Garden and Gun to Cooking Light, won many awards, including from the James Beard Foundation, but it's her restaurant reviews that seem to get the most buzz. From her time at the Seattle Weekly and the Dallas Observer to her current tenure in Charleston. Here in this city, her work has been at times highly controversial and has spurred backlash, but that's a testament to how many people take her publication and her opinion under serious consideration. While I don't always agree with her, nor she with me, I do not in any way condone the attacks on her person. Writing and food is a conversation, and Hannah is smack dab in the middle of it. Welcome to the Southern Fork, Hannah Raskin.
Thanks, Stephanie. It's so nice to be here.
It's so nice to have you, and I always have always called you by your first and last name.
People
so I
like just it feel there. Like that.
I like it. Yeah. It just has a nice lyrical quality to yeah. it. So we have worked together. We know each other pretty well, but there are definitely some questions that I
I can't wait.
Yeah. So the first thing I want to ask is, what attracted you to the foodscape? Because as a writer, yep. you can write about anything.
Sure. And I did. When I first started my career, I was a reporter just covering the things that rookie reporters cover. So I wrote about crime and I wrote about education and land growth or development. I don't know. I didn't care about it then any more than
yeah,
I do
to get
now.
To city council
yeah,
meetings.
Yeah, it went to so many meetings, as all reporters do, right? Yep. So Yeah. So I then left journalism briefly. I went back to grad school and was working sort of in the food history space when it was just starting to develop. Mm-hmm. So that's what got me into food, realizing that I knew how to write. And now I was learning about food from a scholarly perspective. And in addition, because neither reporters nor graduate students make any money, I had been waitressing all the way along, which I always tell people is the very best way to learn how to write about food is to be a server.
Absolutely. Intense F&B.
Yeah.
Myself.
So, well, yeah. And especially, I mean, all of the experience is relevant, but it's especially great to be a server on the floor and knowing, you know, the more you can sell, the more you'll make. And the only way you're going to sell it is to be able to describe it.
Right.
So you really nail those food descriptions.
Right.
So yeah, that's how I ended up writing about food and not city council.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And how many years ago is that?
Which one?
Well, when you started writing exclusively for food.
Exclusively
I've been there
about food?
8 years
say,
for me.
05, 06.
So, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we're looking at 14,
it's
13,
over a decade.
14.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yep.
That's nice.
Yep.
And you are the master, you're one of the masters in the United States of the style that is a very particular style, very particular form, the restaurant review.
Oh, okay.
So I get this question all the time.
Yeah.
When I tell people that I'm a food writer, they go,
do you review
restaurants?
Yeah. I actually say yes.
And you say yes.
Yeah.
So can you explain to the layperson, or at least to me, so I can learn my elevator speech a little better?
I should give you some of my cards.
Yeah. I just need some of your cards. Like, here. Yeah. Just talk to this woman. What makes a review? What is a review about? What is that form? Because it's a particular style.
Yeah, it's service journalism, mm-hmm. more so than anything else. So it, as opposed to some other kind of food writing, such as the essays and the memoirs that have really just proliferated in recent years, this is not about the person writing it. It's about the reader. So the idea of every review is to tell you, is this place worth your money? If your wife is about to have a birthday, is this where you want to take her? What kind of experience will you have? Say it's not a ton of money. Say it's a place that's only going to put you out, you know, $25 or something. Mm-hmm. What kind of experience is that? Is it going to be loud? Is the food going to be spicy? Do you have to have a frame of reference from French cuisine?
How far apart are the tables?
Yeah, all of those things that people care about. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mm-hmm. that's what a review really is. And, of course, that's the fundamentals. We want people to read these things. Sorry, I got in trouble for that. And what's the show on SC Public Radio?
Oh, yeah.
I'll never be invited back for that very reason. For radio listeners, I move my hands a lot.
That's great. Moving hands is great, except
on the radio, because I tend to then bang on the table.
Yeah,
which,
that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah. So SC NPR is not pleased with me.
It's okay. I'm not going to kick you out just yet.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we hope there's more to a review than that. The idea of a review, obviously, all of those things I just said, many of them could be done without any writing at all. Like I could take a picture and just run the decibel levels, which I do, you know. And so a lot of that doesn't require any sort of storytelling. That's why I try to bring to it some storytelling. So the idea is, okay, here's the experience you're going to have. In order to help you appreciate it a little bit more, let's put it in context, whether mm-hmm. it's the context of our contemporary culinary landscape, the context of, you know, world history, whatever it may be. The idea is to provide some context and just to provide a little bit of energy to the story.
And entertainment so that the service gets to it. So that's where we get to the witty. Mm-hmm. We get to a little bit of the snark, and snark is part of that little jab.
We've had this conversation before. I don't think of myself as snarky, because to me, snark implies that it isn't honest or genuine. If I say something that sounds like it's not positive, I really mean it. Snark to me.
I see what you're saying. It's just a different definition.
It's a different definition.
Well,
so snark strikes me as phony, and it's not phony ever.
No.
Yeah.
That's not my definition of snark. So that's probably
fair.
We've differed.
Totally fair.
But the idea of turning the screw a little bit.
Maybe.
Or a little poke.
But see, I suppose so. To me, snark seems like you're entertaining people at someone else's expense. And I really try not to do that. Like, yes, we're all in it together as readers and as eaters, but it should not be at the expense of the restaurant or the people who own it. I mean, obviously, they are putting their life and time and money into this enterprise. So mm-hmm. I always appreciate that.
Noted.
But we have a great tradition of review in the United States. I mean, Pete Wells is definitely one of the biggest, and Jonathan Gold, who recently passed away, was one of that. And you've won James Beard, local journalism, and you really do focus on that as the core of what you write. But it isn't the only thing that you write, the review. It's part of much more that you are producing. What I'm trying to say is you're one of the hardest working women I've ever met. The production level of your writing is amazing. How much you just shoot out of the fingers every day.
Right. I can't promise quality, but I can promise quantity.
So when you're thinking about reviewing a place, how has that idea, since you've been doing it for more than a decade, what are some things that have been added in over the years? Like, because decibel levels weren't always something that you got. That was a recent addition that you started saying, I'm going to measure the decibel levels, right?
I think I've had decibel levels at previous papers I've worked. So I mm-hmm. think that goes back a ways. What I did add to the info box was the temperature.
Oh, okay.
Which I think was really, I mean, that made a difference to me, is especially in the South in the summer, you spend so much time in a dining room just looking for a shawl. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
So, I mean, I always think that's ridiculous that restaurants have to stack blankets instead of just turning up the thermostat.
Absolutely. Well, yep. I've worked in a restaurant where that way back in the day where mm-hmm. that's a tactic.
Yeah.
To turn and burn.
Well, yes.
You get more people in the seats.
Absolutely.
They're done eating and they're full, and you need more warmth after you're full anyway, and you're out the door.
That's part of it. The other part of it is oftentimes they are looking out for their kitchen, which is where it's really hot. And so I appreciate that. I am always on the side of labor, always. And I would, I'm always very much invested in workers having a good work experience. But if you're going to open a restaurant, hospitality really requires you putting your paying guests first. And so you may have to build that restaurant a little differently. You may have to invest in something so that both your employees and your guests can be comfortable.
Absolutely. Or give your kitchen staff more frequent breaks or shorter shifts. I mean, working in a kitchen is hot.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be hot.
Right. Absolutely.
It's just going to be hot no matter what. Okay. So we've covered that. Now, the reviews sometimes are really controversial.
Yeah.
People don't like them.
I know, but I don't always hear that. That's the interesting thing. You know, it's like I had a review this week that wasn't a super positive review. And mm-hmm. I saw that the newspaper posted it on Facebook, which is where, you know, there's more general discussion typically.
Right.
And there was silence. There was not a single emoji attached to it. Not a like, not a dislike, no comments, just quiet. Now, I know when I give a place a negative review. So I know for a fact someone read it. I can tell you exactly how many people read it because, of course, we're a newspaper. And we track that. I know people read it. I think in some corners it could qualify as controversial. Have I heard that? Not a peep.
Mm-hmm. So, but you do hear a lot from readers.
Oh, yeah. I love my readers.
Yeah.
And my favorite part of the job.
You get questions. I mean, you've emailed me, you've texted me, we've called, tracking things down.
So I was going to ask you where I can get shortbread because a reader asked me and I was like, I have no idea.
I have some ideas. Well,
okay.
I'll think about that.
Yeah. Stephanie's a great resource.
Thank you. Thank you. It's just because I eat.
That's it.
Eaters are the way it is.
Right? People always ask, they're like, how did you get to do what you do? You know, it's like eating. Eating. That's the only way you can learn the food.
And you're just in it. You're immersed. People say, how do you have work-life balance? I was like, I eat as many times a day as I can.
Right.
So there is no balance. Yeah. And if I'm home eating oatmeal, I'm still thinking about it.
Right.
I mean, it's just part of the thing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go away from that.
Yeah.
And people are like, don't you just want to go on vacation and just not worry about it? And I'm like, no, that I travel to eat.
Right.
So, and you took a 3-week vacation this year.
I did.
And you traveled
to eat. I know. It's going to undermine what you said about me being hardworking. But I did take
a
vacation this year. Do I travel to eat? No. In this case, I traveled to see the world and be with my father and then my husband. But yeah, I ate incredibly well. Of course. Yeah,
food's
a huge part of it. I'm not going to stop eating.
But when something is controversial, I have really experienced the other side of seeing my friend being personally attacked. in places many times. What people?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, who is a chef to you?
Who is your friend? Who is your friend?
I thought yeah. You said I ruined
Hannah
something.
Raskin is my friend. I feel like we're in a like moment here. Hilarious. She was like, I didn't know who? That.
Yeah. That's great. Please. Okay. Sorry.
But honestly, and it is a personal thing. So attacking your person, not what you're writing, but who you are as a person.
Right.
And
talk about snark.
Can you speak to that kind of feeling that comes up when you hear and read that?
Well, I don't
which
think...
isn't about your writing. It's sure. in your work. It's about you as
it's
a
about
person.
Me, right? And yes. Every woman who publishes online is familiar with this. It happens to everybody. It doesn't matter if you're writing about politics, if you're writing about sports, if you're writing about food. Women still aren't fully allowed to have opinions, sadly. And so it was interesting. A negative review I'd given in the last year, it was fun to watch. The detractors couldn't agree exactly how to personally insult me. So half of them said they felt like I felt I was getting too old. And I'm aging, and so I'm jealous of those who are young and fun. And then the other half said,
I missed that. Oh, whole yeah. Side.
Oh, they had things to say about my neck and the whole thing. And then the other half was like, she's too young to even have an opinion. So I was both too old and too young. So, yes, you get all sorts of things like that. Unfortunately.
Did you get some neck cream after that? Did you go in the bathroom and be like, what are they talking about?
Right. No, in fact, this drives people crazy. I don't care. And that's what makes people really upset. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be at home sobbing because, you know, people say something about the way I look or the way I act. I mean, whatever. That's what it is to be out in public. Now, I think what you're referring to, what has been tougher is when there's been more physical affronts, not yes. assaults, but so, you know, the threatening calls where you have to call the cops, the things that like get thrown at you kind of, you know, subtly or not so much so. That is a little more bothersome because you don't know where it's going to lead. And the right. society we live in, sorry, speaking of violence, I'm banging the table again. The society we live in is, as we know, not 100% safe society.
Yes.
So when it gets to that point, then I start to worry, not right. feel, you know, badly right. about myself. But
because you and I often don't agree.
Oh, sure.
And we engage in that. Yeah. And we talk about that. I mean, I wrote a couple years ago an article about raw milk, and I had to make Hannah angry to even get her to accept the assignment. And then finally she was like, fine.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm doing it.
Yep.
And we fought through that, and it was tough.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was good.
Yeah.
It ended up being a good article that I was very proud that I wrote.
Yeah.
You were okay with
it.
No,
I'm very proud of it as well. And I'm glad we were able to run it.
Yeah. And so we ran it. And so we worked through that professionally.
Right. Right.
And so that to me is really interesting when it goes the other way. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't take anyone's opinion as an affront. You know, mm-hmm. it's great. Everyone, I mean, that's the idea. The whole idea of my writing is like, I have an opinion and you should have one too. You
yes.
shouldn't have mine. That's my opinion. But I do want to make the space safer for people to express opinions, even those that run contrary to the consensus. So
yes.
that is, so I do try and model that. Be, you know, stand by your opinions, defend them. I mean, you may not agree with mine, but I'd love to hear what yours are.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
great.
I always have people, I do a lot of public speaking, which I really enjoy. And there inevitably someone will come up to me and say something like, I love halls. Now, I don't know if I love halls or not because I'm not allowed to go there. It could be great. And again, this is another thing. I don't take this personal stuff into consideration when I review a restaurant. Even though I've been banned from halls, if I were to go there and have a great experience, that's what I would report.
You have a personal palate. Mm-hmm. You have personal opinions.
Sure.
They come from a place of expertise because
my gosh.
You've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, I'm a
but
human being,
you
not
are
a robot.
Human.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, no question.
And so that's the thing. That's part of the idea of reviewing mm-hmm. is the human kind of experience.
Yes.
In a place of commerce.
That goes back to the storytelling and introducing some heart and humanity into the entire, what is in fact a business transaction. I do think that's incredibly important. And I think everyone in F&B acknowledges that and realizes that. But it is not personal in that I don't sit down and think like, oh, what do I think about the person who owns this restaurant? Generally, I don't know that person. You know, it's really part of my MO not to get to know these people. So what I'm saying is, if I went to Halls, it doesn't bother me if they ban me from the restaurant. I'm there to, you know, experience the rest, that part. And then two, it doesn't bother me if you like Halls and I don't. So again, people come up to me and they say these things to me like I'm going to be hurt. I'm not hurt. Just glad we're having a conversation.
Yeah, it's all about a conversation.
Yeah.
And writing is a conversation. I feel like that. This is a conversation. I mean, when people tell me about podcasts and they went to blank and blank or they liked learning more about this.
Yeah.
I actually did let somebody know today that you were coming into the studio and they had a question.
Oh, fun. A question from the studio audience.
A question from the studio audience.
Yeah.
They want to know like what is your junk food. Like, do you have, since you eat so much in restaurants, do you have like a snacky snack thing on the road that you gotta get?
It's so funny you say that because I was just on a trip. I took my little nephew to Niagara Falls and he was there with his parents. I was there with my husband. And so we were like staying in a house together. And it was, I think, the first time I've been, I'll qualify that in a moment, but in the grocery snack aisle. And I was like, whoa, these are not things I eat.
I know, I go to Target like 3 times a year and I'm like, look at this multi-pack toothbrush.
So many cheeses and crisps and crunch. It is amazing.
There's a lot of puffed worms out
there. Right. And it's interesting I say it because if I were to eat anything that like was, I'm saying too many things at once. I do want to return to my qualification. I have been in the snack aisle because I also, sorry about the hands on the table.
Here, I'm going to give you something else to hit.
So I have been in the snack aisle because I also, as my sideline job, just to make some money, I work for Shipt delivering groceries.
Yeah.
Which is
let's pause for such just a
great
a
way
second.
To learn about what's in the store and what people are eating.
And honestly, let's just pause for a second.
Yeah.
Let's say that. I just want, Hannah's a real fast talker and the Southerners, sometimes we listen real slow. Hannah Raskin, James Beard winner. Food editor of the Post and Courier, could have delivered your groceries in the last year.
It's so true, right?
But not on her bike.
Right. Not on my bike. I borrowed my husband's car. This goes back to another thing I often hear in addressing groups is they say, does the newspaper pay for all your food? And I say, well, they pay for part of it, but you're a lawyer or you're a doctor. The reality is we do have a budget for eating a certain amount of food. But as you well know, we have to eat a lot for our job. And
we
so
do.
Every food writer supplements what they're given. They have to, you know, while I'm traveling.
And I can't just have one dish
and
believe that I can put that on the best list for Condé Nast Traveler.
Exactly.
I have to try different things. And it might just be that I hit it on the right night with that one dish.
Right. And so if I've gone to a restaurant that I'm giving a starred review and I've gone 3 times and I feel like, I don't have it yet. I don't have the spirit of this place. I'm absolutely going to go back a fourth time. That's the only fair thing to do. Does my budget cover it? Maybe not all the way.
But Shipt will.
But Shipt does.
So you were in the snack aisle for other people.
Snack aisle for other people. And I don't know how many people use a grocery delivery service, but there's an option where if you can't find what they're looking for, you text them. It's like, I don't see this, but I'd like to recommend that. And I always want to add. And I'm a professional food critic.
I would say this one is the one to go with. And you should trust me.
Right.
I do that all the time in the grocery store.
Again,
I'm always like,
yes.
Don't buy that spice.
Don't get that.
Yep. Don't buy the spice.
Yep.
That's mainly salt and MSG.
Yeah.
It's not a spice blend.
So the two kind of snack things I do keep, it's interesting before when I was talking about the fantasy world of the snack aisle and I said cheese and crisp and crunch because those are the things I like. So I keep exactly 2 things at home in my refrigerator and freezer because I don't eat at home. No, 3 things. I have 3 things. 3 things, 3.5. I sometimes have eggs. I like to eat an egg in the morning. I always have almond butter for the morning, put in my oatmeal. And the 2 things I have that might qualify as snacks is I have a block of real Parmesan cheese. And that's sometimes when I'll come home, like after a meal, I'll have a little Parmesan cheese. And in my freezer, I have chocolate covered frozen bananas.
Yes. I was hoping you were going to say that.
Oh my gosh. I was at a review last night.
Do you remember that you were like, you flipped out when we all told you that you can get them at Trader Joe's.
That's right. They are an absolute obsession of mine.
And you're like, what? They're pre-sliced.
Well, mine can pre-slice.
And yeah. It is a particular brand that yeah. you're obsessed with.
It's true. It I get the Dole brand with the dark chocolate. So this is true junk, right? I mean, I'm sure Dole has been exploiting laborers for centuries. It's a long history of exploitation with Dole. But yeah, Dole bananas. And I shudder to think where those bananas come from, because like you're not looking at it. You know, they're frozen. They're covered in dark chocolate and almonds on the top. I love them.
And where's, how many boxes do you buy at a time?
So last night I bought two. I was I was at a review meal and I was like, the Uber isn't going to be here for 10 minutes and there's a Harris Teeter. So I went to go get my boxes, but I never eat more than one package at a time. Okay. So that's like my thing.
I'm not.
The great thing about doing the work we do is we always know another great meal is coming. So generally there is no need to be like, you know, eat all that you can.
People are always asking, like, I don't love to cook multi-layered food. Mm-hmm. I cook at home, but it's really simple.
Yeah.
Roasted potatoes. Yeah. Chicken, salad. Yeah. You know, I'll make a bean salad a lot. Something I can kind of eat on.
Right. The only thing I have in my pantry, I've already revealed the contents of my refrigerator and freezer, are beans and rice. I mean, actually, now the rice is in the freezer because I understand that's the correct way to store it. But the beans are in the pantry.
Yes. And I've moved up. I have the Carolina Rice Midlands.
The Midlands.
Because I don't eat the rice. I get the Midlands from Celeste Albers at the farmer's market because they're just so much better, and I'd rather have rice less.
Have rice less.
Because they're more expensive than Mahatma or something.
Oh, I got you.
So, I like rice, but I just eat it less and have the good stuff.
And it's better, right?
Yeah. And it's so good. Yeah. It's like every time I make it, I'm like, I'm so good to myself.
Yeah. Quality over quantity.
Yes, very much so. Okay. So, what are you excited about now? You've just had Dave come onto the staff at the Post and Courier.
Yep.
Everything's kind of settling back down and we're going into the fall season really busy.
Yeah.
So, but you are a national writer. So you travel and you do other things. What are you excited about that is happening in food right now? Not necessarily in restaurants, but you know the trends. You keep up on that. I mean,
right. Well, I am looking forward to in October. Southern Foodways Alliance this year is theming its symposium around labor. So I'll be speaking there about the ways that food festivals compensate or don't chefs and other labor. So I'm super excited about that. And what's really neat about that is the way this has been structured is rather than me sort of deliver just this indictment of festivals, we're organizing a conversation. We just spoke about conversation, including representatives of festivals, chefs, and I'm not sure who else will be there to produce sort of a best practices document. Mm-hmm. So rather than just say, this is wrong, we're hoping to provide some ideas of how we can fix
it. Right, because we don't know that business, because we're not in and out of it all the time, but there's definitely some structural things.
So of course I'm excited about I've already talked about labor and thinking about workers and how to treat them fairly. That I mean, I think any movement toward that in the food world is tremendously exciting. And the idea of collaborative solutions rather than just complaining about something, if that can become a trend in food, I'm all for it.
That sounds great. Well, you know, I'm pumped about that particular thing.
Great.
I'm hungry now. What are you hungry for in general?
In general?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to answer that esoterically or is there something where you can always eat that besides covered chocolate covered bananas?
We already covered the chocolate covered bananas.
The woman eats a lot of oatmeal too.
I mean, I'm not overly, and you may be the same way, I'm not overly specific in my taste, although I remember I worked with a guy at the gym probably 10 years ago, and it was one of these, like, they gave you a free session when you joined the gym kind of thing, right? And so he gets me on the treadmill. He's like, what do you crave? And I know every woman that got on that treadmill was like, cupcakes, you know?
Chocolate,
and I, this was when pork was huge, and mm-hmm. all we were eating was bacon, pork belly.
And kale.
I mean,
pork belly.
Yeah. That was it.
That's pork belly over a bed of kale.
Yeah.
Well, guess what I have for you tonight?
Lucky y'all got the kale here in Charleston. Because at the time I was in Dallas, and we didn't get the greens. We got was just meat fat. So you know, he's like, "What do you
Dallas
crave?"
Dallas is still like that.
Exactly right. And she's like, "What do you crave?" I was like, "Spinach." Really crave some spinach, and I could just tell his whole plan was shot. He was going to sell me this huge plan about I'll never make you on a cupcake again.
And you're
sorry,
like,
man,
but I love some spinach.
But I do love some spinach. I do love spinach.
I actually eat greens every day.
Yeah,
and it's important. I start my day with a green smoothie.
Cool.
Every day because I want to hedge bets.
Yeah,
but also I just crave it.
Yeah.
And if I'm on the road and I don't have it for a couple days,
yep.
I will seek out, and I am the thriftiest person, will seek out the $9 damn smoothies.
Yep.
And I don't want to pay $9 for a smoothie, but I must have that green smoothie.
Yeah.
It's become a thing.
Your body knows what it needs.
It everybody knows what it needs.
So mm-hmm. beans, I love beans, all kinds of beans. Yeah.
And the South is just a plethora of goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Good.
For sure.
What is one aspect of your job that really is a good puzzle fit for an aspect of your personality?
A lot, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've already alluded to some of it. Like, I'm pretty good at telling the truth, and I think I'm pretty tough.
Yes, I would.
We need to do both those things.
We have good cop, bad cop.
Pretty much
exactly. In the room.
Yeah. And I have good metabolism. So that's another.
Yes, I was going to say, you eat more than anyone I've ever seen. Yeah. You're just like, are you going to finish that? I'm like, no.
I eat so much. So last night I was thinking about reviewing this restaurant. I wasn't sure if I would or not. I just kind of popped in and the owner emailed me after, which by the way is kind of a no-no. The game you're supposed to play is if I'm there, just pretend like I'm not. But instead, he emailed to say he noticed. He's like, well, you must have liked it. You finished everything on your plate. I was like, that tells you nothing. Like, as you said,
if I'm hungry.
Right. No, I never leave anything on my plate. Yeah. I remember Tim Carman was doing a story for the Post a few years ago about what do critics do with all their leftovers? And they had a great illustration of a refrigerator filled with them. And I had to tell Tim, I've never had any leftovers.
That is true.
Everything.
And I will have leftovers, but I don't like food waste. So I take it home and I will eat it the next couple days or freeze it or all kinds of things.
Right.
Because I just... too many years of seeing chefs send out dishes and pieces and parts of things because you're not going to try. You can't eat all of 9 dishes. That's why you have to have people with you.
Yeah.
Right. What keeps you up at night?
Maybe this has to do with metabolism. I'm a really good sleeper. I'm a great nothing. I mean, it's one of my greatest talents. I read quickly and I fall asleep quickly. Mm-hmm. So when I was 4, those were incredible skills. Now they're not so interesting. But no, nothing keeps me up at night. I mean, mm-hmm. I worry about the state of the world like everybody else. But
well, and we've talked before, like, you know, you ebb and flow when you're putting out so much content. You've said to me, I don't know, I didn't like that piece and I put it out.
Oh,
you know, so you do
Stephanie,
have.
You are going to keep me up at night. Yes. Okay. Sure. Of course.
Just
writers are
randomly.
Never happy with their work.
Yes.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's just because you're a perfectionist.
Right.
And you are doing that. But I don't think you're harsh.
I don't think so either. But again, people who don't know me, you know me.
You're very quick. Mm-hmm. And you're very sure of opinion.
Correct.
And those are different.
Exactly.
Than being harsh.
Right.
But
right. But they can be perceived that way. You're right. Because I don't couch it.
Absolutely can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Blunt.
Blunt
is the word.
That's fair.
And then, but that blunt doesn't scare me.
Good for you. Yeah, you're tough too. You're very tough.
And then finally, it switches all the time. But what's that last meal, that death row meal right now?
I hate to think of myself on death row.
Let me couch this. This is how I usually say this.
Yeah.
I made this shorter. So, of course, we're not going to ever visit you on death row, but we have
I'll be all alone.
Out.
You're not going to come see me?
No. I'm going to care about you. I'm able to time travel.
Yeah.
I'm able to collect any special ingredients. I'm able to conscribe any chef to cook something for you because I'm a good persuasive person and I can cook a little bit. So what would be part of the things on that plate?
This is so interesting. Because so much, and we've talked about this, everyone at F&B knows this, is so much of eating and enjoying it is who you're with and what's around you.
Absolutely.
And the food is secondary, tertiary at best. Mm-hmm. So, and the other, I'm sorry, I'm just finding loopholes in all of your questions, but the other thing too is part of my job.
That's the blunt. Right
there. There is supposed to be a damn loophole. You are supposed to answer this however you
right,
want.
Right, right, right. I hear you.
It's a softball.
I did not do well in softball. I was the scorekeeper for my high school team. Didn't even get on the field. Softball's not my thing. So the other thing that's tricky is because of my job, I'm always focused in the present, which I think is really the most fair to the people I review. I mean, if I walked into every restaurant, I was
absolutely,
like, you know, I hope you have a escoffier in the back and I'm here just for the escargot. You know, I think it's totally unfair.
Absolutely. That's a really good point.
Yeah. So I'm so in the present that I don't linger on great meals of the past. But you know what? I'm always happy with a steak. I really
steak and butter.
I really just want to eat a steak and have some French fries and my martini
and
the spinach. I mean, I'll usually have a wedge salad before that, but that is my go-to meal.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, prime rib at MASH is not.
I really love red meat. I know. That fits with everything else we've said.
Well, on that note, that's going to be pulled out. That's just going to be like,
right.
You're going to hear that. I really love red meat.
Great.
If people want to learn more about Hannah Raskin and her work at the Post and Courier in Charleston, South Carolina, you can go to thesouthernfork.com. Per usual, I am going to have links to some of her articles so you can see her. But per unusual, you are not going to see an image of the woman behind the voice today because Hannah Raskin prefers to respect her position and not be photographed very often, and especially for things like the Southern Fork. So I respect that.
I'll send you my critic pic if you don't have it.
Oh, I have okay, it. Okay. I have it. She's behind an oyster
behind
shower.
Behind a shellfish shower.
Shellfish shower.
Yes, yeah.
If you like what you hear, there are more than 150 episodes, more and more, being recorded in the Ohm Radio studio here with esteemed engineer James Frolio. So please dive into the archives. Please subscribe. And y'all, I haven't seen a new review in a while. And well, my ego is fragile. Can you leave one if you like the show? Thanks so much for coming today, Hannah.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Hello, and welcome to Talking With My Mouthful. I've been reading this book that is a novel set in the 1940s theater community, and it is just reminding me of how similar the restaurant community can really be to the theater community. Restaurants, in a way, if they're working well, it's almost like a theater company. Sometimes I'll have people say, well, how do you write so much about food? You know, it's just sustenance. To me, it is not. I think I make that quite clear that the show is based on the people in food, and it is an entertainment for me. So to that end, last night I was at Edmund's Oast, which there was a guest chef dinner and a collaboration between Episode 8's Bob Cook, who is now the executive chef of Edmund's Oast, has been for a while, and also the developer of the Burnt and Salty condiment line. And then Episode 112, Stephen Devereaux Green. He cooks at the Umstead, which is the most amazing hotel, and his restaurant is called Heron's. So they had a wonderful collaboration last night, and I was so thrilled that I got to sit at the chef's counter. Here is why I really like to eschew more and more sitting at a table for service. One, I order a lot of food, or some food is sent out to me. I don't have normal pacing, and that can be really not cool for a server. Number two, I can't really stare at other people as well, including the kitchen staff and how the staff works in general and the movement when I am sitting at a table. It's considered rude. But when I'm sitting in a bar, I can watch everything. I can glance over and see without like being super obvious what and if other people are eating. I can watch the runners run from the expo line. I can see how fast tables are cleared, and I watch all of that stuff. I like to see the inner workings of a restaurant, and that can give me a lot of information about how beyond the night that I am there, the consistency of the whole operation. So I'm definitely a bar seat person, and last night was a chef's counter, and I got to see an open kitchen work at full speed. The house was packed. The food was outstanding. The wine was delicious. And I brought home leftovers. So anyway, it's an entertainment and I felt like I'd been to the theater. So that's why you'll find me at the bar. Until next time.
You've been listening to The Southern Fork. I can't wait to bring you more culinary conversations, but in the meantime, I have one question. Are you gonna eat all that?